Well, anyway, here poor old Vince is back seat just panicking. I said, well, Vince, you got your student pilot's license. Yes, yes. I said, well, you have taken that little ring in front. You pull it back to go up. You push it forward to go down. But you don't need to worry about pulling it back because it's going down. And I said, that thing on the left is your throttle. And said, you can play with it all you want to because that engine's blown. And he said, Connie, why are you telling me this? I said, well, I'm telling you this because if it gets any worse and I decide to bail out and you don't, and you survive the landing, I said, I will sign your logbook that you soloed a Spitfire.
Ladies and gentlemen, questions. It's Q&A time. And there's Kyle with microphones. Here we go. Making a run there.
So did you bail out or land the airplane?
Well, there's an old abandoned B-17 runway outside of Bedford, England, called Little Stalton. And I've always been luckier than smart. But there it was, and I belly landed the thing in. And boy, the smoke going straight up, and I turned back there and hollered. I said, Vince, better get out of this thing. Said, it might blow up. And I heard him say in a little bitty voice, what did you say, Connie? He was already jumped out, left his parachute on the right wing, and was out in the middle of the wheat field. So, and it was the funniest deal. Nobody, it looked like Smooze all the way around the fence, you know, with their nose hanging over, and nobody even came out. And here this plane was, by God, smoking like crazy. Well, there was an old duffer drove up in his little MG with his old shaggy dog and his pipe. And he said, I say, laddie, are you having a bit of trouble? And I said, no, sir, I always land this way. And he said, jolly good show, Yank. Cheerio, and drove off. The next car that came by was his character. He said, you see, Harry, I told you there was a bloody Spitfire on a tarmac. And he said, okay, you won the bet. I pay for the beer, and drove off. There was not a single other person came out.
That was it.
So anyway, the B-25 came back. And the next morning, I started out with the Spanish Air Force. And so I was just one of them. I speak a very, very bad grade of Spanish. It's called Tex-Mex. And you can just imagine what they thought of my language when I go to Seville, Spain. But anyway, the next morning up at Duxford, our commander, Pedro Santa Cruz, which incidentally he had 9,000 hours in the 109 alone. He was in Franco's War. He flew with Luckwaffe Alder in the Second World War, and he flew for Hispano to put all the Messerschmitts together. And so he was a dear friend. But anyway, they all was smiling, and they showed up, and Pedro Santa Cruz gave me a mark to put on my rudder of my ME-109 that I had shot down a Spitfire.
Kyle, any other questions? Questions, yes. Up in the back corner, Kyle.
Sir, I was wondering if you could tell us a story or two about flying in the cold, if you've ever been to the Arctic or Antarctic.
Well, I haven't flown in the Arctic, Antarctic. I tell you, I hate cold weather. And I ended up flying in Norway for 8 months. Another story after the Bay of Pigs. Anyway, my solar panel ran completely down, and I came back to Texas. But I've done a good bit of flying in Europe. But I'm sure not going to go to the Arctic or the Antarctic.
So it sounds like that's a Coast Guard aviator, by the way, who asked that question. Does that imply that you do and have flown in either the Arctic or the Antarctic?
I did a very little bit of flying in the Arctic. Most of my flying, though, was in subarctic up in Alaska around the Aleutians and other places like that.
Right.
Thanks. Well, you haven't been back either, have you?
That's a fact, sir.
Anybody? What we're going to do, Kyle Guyette, who has the straw hat, by the way, as we get ready to do our walk around the airplane with Connie and with Commander Holt, Kyle has challenge coins. If you'd like a challenge coin, Connie is the one to see. Kyle, rather, is the one to see in just a few minutes. In the meantime, Sam Bass. Sam is up. And Connie, if you and the commander will do a walk around with this airplane, we're going to learn about what this airplane does. Sam, you're on. Thanks,
Thank
everybody.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, hang on to your mics. Hang on to your mics.
You go.
Yeah. Come on over here by the airplane.
Yes, sir.
You're up.
I'm trying to get my instructions.
There we go. Well,
Sam, I've got my instructions here.
Have you got everything written? Well, you know it all anyway, right?
All the useless facts and information.
All right, well, just tell us a little bit about the airplane.
Well, Terry Adams got all this together. It says there was 466 of them built from 47 to 61. Coast Guard had 91. Flying from May the 51 to March 19th, 83, and that was when this one was retired. And this was the second, this was just before the very last one. And this is a super airplane. It was the Admiral's baby. So when I got it, it's just like a new airplane. And it's still just like a new airplane.
What ages does it have on it?
It has 1820 76s that's 1,425 horsepower, and we've had just zero problems with the engines, and it's got we've put many hours on it.
Okay, now it's used for air and sea rescue. What's the range on it, or times at time
range,
in flight?
Range normally 2,700 miles.
That's a good bit.
Yeah.
And a crew of how many?
Well, they had a crew of six, and it had the radio man, had the navigator, had the pilot and co-pilot, and usually had two more, the flight engineer and whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Now this is the same. The Albatross was also used by the Air Force for air, sea, and rescue.
It was mainly used by the Air Force, and but Grumman, they had kind of a reversal in their financial deal. So they came up with this idea, and I got to know the vice president of Grumman, retired vice president, and he told the story. And they came up with this idea that the spar expired in 11,000 hours. So there was no proof to that, and they had to work on it for 4 or 5 days, bending it to get the spar to break. But the Air Force, and they said, well, we'll make $2 million a plane. Putting the titanium spar caps on. Well, hell, all the Coast Guard planes had over 11,000 hours on them. Right. So the Air Force said, well, heck with it, we're on austerity kick, said, we'll just junk them. And that's why, that's what happened. Well, this one in particular, it was in a hurricane down at Corpus Christi. They landed at sea and came up the ramp, and the ramp collapsed, and it busted the keel on it. So they pushed in the back of the hangar, and it sat there for years and years. And then they looking for airplane that had, you know, less than 11,000, and so this one had 7,000. And so it was, they put a new keel on it, and they called it out of the boneyard two times, and it went back, and they shut it down, and it's the next to the last one to fly, and it was in perfect shape.
Well, are there any peculiarities about flying this aircraft versus any other seaplanes?
Well, not really.
Well, you said that about the 73 knots. So.
Hey, no. This flies just beautiful. I mean, it lands itself on the water. I mean, it all of its characteristics are super.
Do you have a narrow speed to land in this airplane like you did?
Not really. You don't. You just land it like you would any other seaplane. But it sets down about 65 knots. And depending on your weight, and it's a very, very easy airplane to fly. It's very responsive on the controls, and I don't have any complaints at all about the. Now the PBY, it's a wrestling match. you finally just get used to it, fishtailing. Get your feet off the rudders when your legs wear out on you.
Yeah.